Blog Talk Radio.
Timbo. Hey, Neo. Losco. Better math, your boy a good look, but she my better half. I'm already bossing, already flossing, but why had a cake if it ain't got the sweet frosting? You're keeping me on my A game, without having to say names. They may flame, but shorty we burn it up. The sag in my swag, pep in my steps. Daddy do the Gucci, mommy in the steps. Yes, it's a G thing, whenever we swing. I'ma need Coretta Scott if I'm gonna be king.
I'm a movement by myself, but I'm a force when we're together. Mommy, I'm good all by myself, but baby, you make me better.
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 First things first, I just what I do. But everything I am, she's my improvement.
It cleaned up ice, the shorty come around, I clean up nice. Dynamic duo, Batman Robin, whoever don't like it, it's Batman problem. And when I feel like I'm tired, mommy be taking me higher. I'm on fire, but shorty we burn it up.
I'm a movement by myself, but I'm a force when we're together. Mommy, I'm good all by myself.
Find a woman like a soldier,
holding
her down.
She treats me like a dawn, watches for the hit. Checks where I go, even watches who I'm with. The right when I'm wrong, so I never slip. Show me how to move, that's why I never trip. And baby girl, you so major, they should front page ya. God bless the parents who made ya. Middle finger anybody who hates the way we burn it up.
I'm a movement by myself, but I'm a force when we're together. Mommy, I'm good all by myself, but baby, you make me better.
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 Yeah, baby, them lames you playing with, they gon' put you down. We trying to compliment you, you know? Make it better. Top notch Tim. Nice look Neo. Living good, Loso. They ask you how you doing now, tell them better than them.
I'm a movement by myself, but I'm a force when we're together. Mommy, I'm good all by myself.
Is rich. I got the $1 million melanin. I'm talking about the deep chocolate the prophets be dreaming about selling in. Every element is elegant, it's effortless. No need for embellishment. I'm coated in a coat of cold, and my black hole be black gold. Black. Bold, no lighting on my photo, no, make it dark, naked like tree barks, and yes, my bite is vicious, but please don't compare me to no bad bitches, I'm indigenous, El Kebalon. No Revlon, no silicon in my tush. I'm cute in my cush. I'm the aftermath of the burning bush. You see me every time you close your eyes and make a wish. I'm that dark licorice, I mean that dark liquor mist. Natural, no Remy, my hair natural, no Remy or Yaki. I get happy when they call me Nappy or Blackie, cause wearing nothing at all, I be the belle of the ball. Wherever I fall, where they steady hacking, they lacking self-confidence, dark and lovely, nothing of me ugly. The sun loves me, my sons love me. I'm the same color of the streets they be hugging. I understand them and understand them both ways. I cause the dark age, and I'm black power, and so much more, and that's more spelled with two O's and no E. And if you know anything about me, you know I put the hue in Huey P. I was the inspiration for the activist, the blackest fist. Fuck with a pigment, they ain't fucking with my pigment. I'm the tinnitite with the inner light, the dimmer daughter. I wrote this poem for my great-grandmother, who used to put bleach in her grandbaby's bathwater. She told my mother to scrub harder, thinking that the black would come off. Maybe self-hatred is crazy. They call my mama a tar baby, but I'm that star baby. The morning star made me, Oshun made me. Well done, and well done again. Kudos to my kin for making sure I was proud of my skin tone, so I never got hung up on any Willie Lynch syndrome. You read wrong, I'm confident, headstrong. Nothing but love for my sisters they call Redbone. I'm just a black stallion that be styling, and I be dressing like I own 1,000 islands. They ask me what I do and who I do it for. I told them I do it for the woman that told my mother that she was too dark to rock the sterling silver earrings she just got. See, my mother grew up Cajun in an age when to be considered beautiful, you had to resemble a Caucasian. Crazy how those conversations consecrated a color complex, coded in their context. But somebody should have gave them contacts, because last I checked, every color goes with black. As a matter of fact, every now and again, I rock red lipstick. For the idiot that said it doesn't blend well with dark skin, but he gets lost in the heat of the evening. Every time he sees me wearing it at an even, he's heated and fiending for Hershey's kisses. He heard, she kisses like, she heard, he heard, she kisses like strawberries covered in silhouettes. I'm secure in my shadow, nothing but teeth and eyes. Yeah, I'm the tea kettle, the black widow, divorce and beauty European eyes. They ask me what I do and who I do it for. I told them I wrote this poem for my little chocolate covered mentee, a little girl who's draped in the same rich skin as me, but for some reason she still feels empty. And that's when I told her, baby girl, your skin, that's your inheritance. You're wearing it. It's staring you in the mirror. But she was taught to fear her, taught that she was inferior. So of course this little dark-skinned girl wanted to be light. This little dark-skinned girl wanted to be light. And that's when I looked right at her and told her, baby girl, light is exactly what you were made of. You're what's produced when shooting stars get together and make love. God made us black, all the colors of the spectrum. That's why I never disrespect them. That's why I stay checking this bag. I told you, my skin is rich. I got the $1 million melanin. I'm talking about the deep chocolate that the prophets be dreaming about selling in. Every element is elegant, it's effortless. No need for embellishment. I'm posted in the middle of the African flag with my African ass. And I'm so proud about being black. Love yourself.
Peace, 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 my Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of Duke Knowledge Radio, place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born Allah. I'm here on our Black Prosperity Thursday show, and we are extremely honored. I'm honored, privileged, excited to have on none other than the queen of dark skin activism, the queen, the warrior, you know, our teacher, author, mother, just an amazing, phenomenal queen. Rashida Strober is in the building. That phone number to call in, family, 515-605-9360. Again, 515-605-9360. And press 1 with your questions or your comments. becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce to some and present to others this morning's guest live here on Do Knowledge Radio, Miss Queen of Dark Skin Activism herself, our advocate, our warrior queen, Rashida Strover, is in the building.
I was saying thank you. I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Okay, I don't know what you're saying. Thank you. Thank you for that. I feel like so honored and so humbled and so privileged. Words can't even like tell you how happy I am to hear you say that. Like, I really appreciate that. Like, thank you very much. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Definitely my pleasure. I saw some videos of you, and then I heard you on my sister's show, The Rundown with Renee. I was like, man, I got to get a hold of the sister, you know what I mean? And, you know, I reached out to you, but then I realized that our sisters on the internet go through a lot of hell. You see what I'm saying? So my message versus the thousands that you might get a day from some, you know, some lunatics or whomever, especially doing the work that you're doing, that pioneering work that you have done, I was like, I got to try again some other kind of way. You see what I'm saying? So I'm thankful that we were able to connect and, you know, put this show together, because you have a story unlike no other, sis. So definitely honored to have you here on the platform to, you know, share your story with your family. So,
thank you.
I mean, you know, your work yourself and everything that you do. So it's kind of hard to ask you for an intro. We do begin with an intro, you know, so, you know, take as long or as little as you like, and then, you know, we can get into the subject matter at hand. So if you could introduce yourself to the family, the other people that's on the planet that don't know who you are.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, once again, I want to say to you, and shout out to the sister Renee, too, because she reached out to me and was very kind, and I want to say thank her, and I want to say thank you for letting me come on and speak about this, because, you know, that's probably, like, really, aside from speaking on the history of dark skin activism, it's probably one of the most important things to have people acknowledge what it is that I'm saying, because for, like, a long time, people didn't want to acknowledge it, and I was encouraged to just be quiet about it and not talk about it. And I was ignored for a long time. So it's like, that's why I was like always kind of like taken aback when people say the things about the work that is being done. I'm like, wow, like that's really amazing to me, because knowing what went into it. So I want to say thank you very, very much. I'm very honored and happy to be here, and thank you to all the people that's listening. Just to talk about dark skin, the history of dark skin activism. This, you know what? This is so important. I want people to realize, and I hope that I'm really able to articulate how important this is. One of the best ways that I could put it is, for me, I have a burning desire to leave a legacy, because I know I'm not going to be physically on this earth no more. And so while I'm here, I have a burning desire to write, to speak, to do plays, to talk about the dark skin issue, to create this paradigm. That's like, I'm literally obsessed with it. And it's probably because people ignored what I was saying and told me it was bad and tried to put it off sometimes. So when people do that to me, it makes me say, oh, I'm going to do the exact opposite. I'm going to go harder. So dark skin activism, how did it get started? First of all, I like to use this analogy. I like to talk about the Mothers Against Drunk Driving. That movement was created because I believe the mother, her son, was killed by a drunk driver. So she decided to take action and create a movement around it. Same thing with dark skin activism. Dark skin activism started with me on a personal level, growing up being basically ridiculed for having dark skin. That's really what it was. And just
going through it for, you know, through my formative years, not being able to articulate it. And I know everybody thinks that I'm such a talkative extrovert, but I was an introvert growing up, a poor, dark-skinned introvert, which is a recipe for disaster, in my opinion. And so I was quiet about a lot of the stuff that I was going through. Although I've seen it happen for years, I just didn't say anything. But as time went along, I was always had the burning question, why are dark-skinned people, why am I, as a dark-skinned girl, being treated differently? Why do I look at my family and see this person or that person who is lighter than me get privilege and benefits and compliments and all that, and I'm not getting any of this? I always wondered that in my head. And so I wanted to know what was the cause of this. And so what I started to do in the 90s is to look for someone that was speaking on it. And I mean, I looked high and low. And I tell you right now, there was nobody. We see people talking about dark skin right now. I'm giving you the history of dark skin. I'm creating the lane, dark skin history. There was no one speaking about it. So what I did is I had an opportunity one time to speak at St. Petersburg College. I was an undergraduate student at the time. I spoke at St. Pete College during Harambe, and you could talk about anything you want. And, of course, always circulating in my head was this thing about, why am I treated like this because I'm dark-skinned? Why am I being called black and ugly? Why have I been going through this for so long? So one day I saw Alec Weck, the Sudanese dark-skinned model, really dark-skinned, her hair shaved bald. I saw her on the cover of a magazine in the store, and I purchased the magazine, and I was just intrigued that she was so black on the cover of this mainstream magazine, and I started doing a little bit of research on her, and I ran into the same thing, what I call darkism now, where black people were saying she was ugly, she wasn't the representation of a black woman, and so on and so forth. And I said, oh my, this, she going through the same thing? This is what I went through, you know, with people growing up in school and my family, et cetera. And so that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to take this opportunity. And it was a $200 prize involved. So I said, I'm going to take this opportunity. And I'm going to talk about this. And I, you know, I used to be worried about it in terms of what people will say. They'll say, oh, you jealous, or you a hater and all this. But I didn't care. I sat down, wrote that speech, and delivered it. And long story short, won it. And that was birth of dark skin activism. And from that point on, I continued to do research. I continued to also figure out ways to speak about dark skin, which I ultimately have done through writing books, plays, and the performing arts. I've probably written the most books than anyone in the world on dark skin. That's all I do, because I'm obsessed with it. People used to tell me, you crazy and that's a bad thing. It's not. It needs to be done. So I started this way back in 1998 and continued the work. And then shortly after, I ran into the work of Kola Booth. I can never, even in my book that I'm writing right now, Inventing Dark Skin Activism, I cannot write that book. I could not write that book without speaking about the contribution of Kola Booth. Because the truth be told is this. Kola Booth, and y'all can do y'all dark skin research. I've done mine. I know the history. Trust me. Kola Booth is the first person in the world to specifically speak consistently on dark skin. I ain't talking about speaking on all black people. She spoke specifically on the issues faced by dark skin people. And this was in the 90s, and she was doing it before me, before anybody else. I'm the second person. And I didn't know about her work until after I did the talk at St. Petersburg College. And I could not believe it. I just could not believe that there was another human being, after searching high and low, that was on this earth that was talking about a subject that people was trying to tell me to be quiet about. And Kola was doing it. And she was taking the heat for it. And I was like, so her contribution can never, ever, in my book, anybody that's talking about dark skin and you don't know about Kola Booth, you need to go do a do-over, because, you know, you really don't understand. You understand what I'm saying? You really don't understand what this thing is really all about. This is very, very, very important stuff. So I have to make sure that I talk about Kola Booth, because without Kola Booth, I'm telling you right now, I know that there would not be a Rashida Strober, the world's first dark-skinned activist. And I'm going to tell you another person who was before their time. I would call this person the father of dark-skinned activism, even though he's dead. The Black of the Berry, Wallace Thurman. People think the Black of the Berry came from Tupac. Rest his soul. It did not come from Tupac. Wallace Thurman, back in the 1932, 1929, he wrote a book, the book called The Black of the Berry. And the book was specifically about a dark-skinned woman and what she was going through in the 1930s. Her name is Emma Lou. She is the protagonist in this story. And this man, Wallace Thurman, was way ahead of his time. So if you ain't talking about these people, I can't take you seriously. You're not being respectful of the struggle of the dark-skinned people of the world and the pioneers that was talking about it before it was even popular or before it was even thought of or heard of to talk about. So I cannot thank Kola Booth, and I definitely can't thank Wallace Thurman enough, because they laid the groundwork. They laid the groundwork. And they're very important to me, and that's why I'm writing this book. Well, the book is actually already written. I'm going through the editing process because I had to add a couple of chapters to it because of new developments that keep taking place as I continue dark skin activism. But in the book that I'm writing, Inventing Dark Skin Activism, I can't write about the invention of dark skin activism without talking about Kola Booth and Wallace Thurman. So I know that was a mouthful, but I'm gonna be quiet. So maybe you have some questions.
Nah, you definitely, I'm glad you're saying what's on your mind. You see what I'm saying? And this is a place for you to be able to do that. Your story is important. Your story is impactful and empowering. You know, there's some young sisters somewhere, you know, that's listening, or like might be on the same journey that you on, you know, feeling like they ain't adequate, feeling like they're not beautiful enough, you know, feeling like something is wrong with them. You see what I'm saying? Because they're getting excluded.
Right. Right.
I know,
right.
You know, from my own personal experience, I had my older brother is light skinned with freckles. You see what I'm saying? And we only 13 mm-hmm. months apart, and we came, you know, out of the same mother. You see what I'm saying? So it was something that I struggled with, you know, and, you know, brothers don't admit, you know, to a lot of things like that. I dealt with that for a very long time. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, for, you know, to even get a look from somebody, you see what I'm saying? To get a look from a sister, because, you know, in your mind, there's, to me, from my perspective, there's two people that can build you up or hurt you the most. Your mother and the person that you're with in the relationship. You see what I'm saying? As a man.
Mm.
So that acknowledgement, you know, from your mother, and you don't get that compliment, you know, that sister, that's a compliment for you. You see what I'm saying? It mm-hmm. kind of messes with your psyche a little bit. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely.
They won't say it. They won't say it. You see what I'm saying? But I know my older brother ain't have no problem. You see what I'm saying? Like, I
right.
had to be extra. Like, I had to be extra funny. I had to fight extra hard. You understand what I'm saying? So it was something.
Oh,
I had
yeah,
to do
definitely.
Extra, you know, to try to, you know, make myself, you know what I mean, out there so people can see me, you know, sometimes to my own detriment, you know. So I was reading your story and I was like, man, you see, and I'm like, this is things that have to go on just for a sister just to exist. You see what I'm saying? And something that's celebrated within our culture is not celebrated within the framework of our society. You see what I'm saying? You could see all of these shirts and slogans and Black Power and Black is Beautiful. You see what I'm saying? But then you see white as the standard of beauty. You know what I mean?
Right.
So these things, like, it's like you say them topically, but you don't really mean them. You see what I'm saying? Because
exactly.
We have never really darker sisters in the light of respect and prominence. You see what I'm saying? Unless they was being, you know, ushered in by the white media. You see what I'm saying? So even, excuse me, even with the Black Power movement of the 60s, who do they show? Angela Davis. You see what I'm saying? They
yep.
they show that with the, you know, iconic afro. So that becomes a symbol of what Black Power is. And then it resonates. So what about everybody else? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
What about everybody else? You know, they puff up who they want to puff up, and then they hide who they want to hide. You see what I'm saying? Like, Dr. Khaled had issues. If Dr. Khaled was, you know, light-skinned, I think he would have had a less of a time, you know, in regards to navigating through the system. You see what I'm saying? But because,
I agree.
You know, he was, you know, they was coming at him trying to demonize him because he is he's the face of strength, but he's also the face of fear. You see what I'm saying? And
right.
I see that a
right.
lot from what you project out in regards to, you know, how you move and you're fearless. You see what I'm saying? That war spirit. Warriors respect warriors. So I'm like, man, this queen. You see what I'm saying? I'm like, I wish somebody would say that about. So, I mean, I just wanted to, you know, share that with you and, you know, kind of ask, you know, how has it been? You know, especially your mother, you know, how has it been, you know, with, you know, fighting the battles that you fight and, you know, you're doing a whole bunch of things. You got plays going on. You got all of that. Is there a balance now from versus when you started some kind of way? Is there more acknowledgement? I won't say acceptance because, you know, that means you're settling for something. Is there more acknowledgement or an awareness that you found, you know, doing this almost 20 years? Next year it'll be 20 years, you know, so.
Right, yeah. It's and that's why it's so important for me to write the book Inventing Dark Skin Activism, because it's basically a timeline of everything that's happened in between. And I've seen some changes definitely from going back to 98, speaking on it and then being shunned. Even though I won the contest and won the money, I still didn't win the popularity contest, because I remember people – black people, I have to say, because y'all got to be honest here, that didn't like what I had to say. So I see those same parallels from 98 to now. And then in between, just something that a lot of people may not be aware of that I am writing about in the book is the white mainstream press actually gave me coverage before I began speaking on black blog or talk radio shows or, you know, on the internet and on regular radio. I'm just pointing out the facts here. You know, some people might see the irony in that, but, you know, I was covered by mainstream press first, multiple times. And it took a while for black people to pay attention. And black people were the people, of course, that I was always speaking to, because the issue of darkism is in the, I feel that as black people, we're going to have to solve our own problem. So that's one of the things that I've noticed, that now I'm starting to gain more traction with black people. And that may be due, now I think about it, that may be due to the internet. That could have something to do with it. But, you know, dating back to, you know, 2010, 2009 even, you know, I started getting coverage in mainstream media outlets before even coming onto the internet and dealing with the black media. So now I've been on a lot of different black outlets on the internet, which I'm very grateful for, and that's allowed me to actually reach the people that I really want to reach. But the black people were kind of like hesitant towards it in the beginning, and I know why. I mean, let's be honest. It's the big elephant in the room that's been covered up for so long, and that's why I have to give credit to people like Kola Booth and people like Wallace Thurman, because those people, you calling me a warrior, they were warriors. Like, they was there when it was like no one wanted to hear it. And so from that standpoint, I can see the changes that are gradually taking place, where now you see people that are, they coming out talking about it, talk about the dark skin issue where they wouldn't talk about it before. I mean, I've gotten countless messages, should I say, from people over the years who have shared their stories with me. And I appreciate that, because that lets me know that it's dark skin activism is making an impact, the paradigm of dark skin activism. And I like to say, you know, it's a paradigm shift, definitely. Coming from an academic background, political science is what I majored in as a graduate student at the University of South Florida. Learning about paradigms, that's one of the things that stuck in my head, that there are paradigm shifts. And when you have a paradigm shift, it's not going to never be easy. I mean, it's going to be resistance there. So that's something that I always expect. But just looking at the end goal, and for me in my head, the end goal is economic equality for the dark people around the world, because this whole issue, make no mistake about it, it all ties back to the economics of darkism. For me, and in my own personal life as a dark-skinned person, I've had to fight for everything. I came up poor, dark-skinned, and people see me making these posts on Facebook. Let me tell you something. This stuff is swirled around in my head constantly. I can't let it go, so I got to unleash it and tell you about it. Growing up dark-skinned and poor, that's a big problem. It's a huge problem, and it's not supposed to be that way, given that human beings have all the resources on Earth that we need to where nobody should have to be in poverty, right? So when I look over there to the continent of Africa, I'm saying, wait a minute, why are these dark-skinned people over here among the poorest people on Earth when this is one of the most resource-rich places on Earth? This does not make sense, but it's a result of what I call in my book, Darkism, 25 Ways Dark-Skinned People Are Discriminated Against. I call it systemic economic darkism. And studying the people of Sierra Leone, which is, I did my thesis on the people of Sierra Leone, the dark-skinned people of Sierra Leone, and its structural adjustment policies that was instituted by the World Bank and an International Monetary Fund, which is to me a form of systemic economic darkism, and how it impacted these people to the point of civil war, to the point of dark-skinned people fighting with dark-skinned people. So this is a huge issue. Let me tell you, we got a lot of work to do, and it started off with me and my insecurities wanting attention from black men and wanting them to say, oh, you pretty like everybody else. But it's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than that, and that's why I will not let it go until I, see what I want to see in terms of equality. It's all about equality for me, and people having a decent way of life to where they can be born onto this earth and enjoy and not be in poverty and not have to feel like, they don't deserve to enjoy the resources of the earth. I mean, I felt that way a lot of times as a dark-skinned person. Like, I don't deserve this, or I'm expected not to want certain things. You see what I'm saying? And some people think that sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, that's the way I felt. And people say, oh, this is all in your head. Well, it might be in my head, but you got to consider the fact of the society that we live in. How and why and where would I develop these ideas? You have to consider the circumstances and the society that a person comes up in and the influences that go on in that society. And I'm telling you, darkism is a huge part of that.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and I think, along with some of the other fights that are out there, this is very underserved and very misrepresented, you see what I'm saying? Because when we go back and look at psychology, the psychology of our people in regards to how we see ourselves, there's a spectrum. It goes from mild, moderate, and severe, you see what I'm saying? And, us of the Dr. Hugh are at the end of the severe. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you read the words that W.E.B. Du Bois said about, the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, you see what I'm saying? Called him an ugly little man. You see what I'm saying? So now you put that color context in its proper context, and you look at the Talented 10th, and you look at the Big Three, you see what I'm saying? It was all in regards to the people who were supposed to be advocating for us as a people, were selected. You see what I'm saying? They were selected, and they were propped up, And if you look at Rosa Parks, they didn't show you the sister from Louisiana. You see what I'm saying? They showed you Martin Luther King. They didn't show you the pastor from Louisiana in 55. You see what I'm saying? So it's just games that they play in regards to, who they put in front of us and how that affects our mentality. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, we never good enough. You know what I mean? No matter what we do, there's some kind of contention that exists. And if there's no contention that exists,
externally, they will find some contention to exist internally. You see what I'm saying? You got Black Entertainment Television and all these. You know, we could list them. You know them all. You see what I'm saying? So
right.
It's very powerful to be able to, you know, have a reference, a point of reference now. You see what I'm saying? Like, this is a legacy. This is a legacy. And, you know, our children will have to continue on this fight. You see what I'm saying? So if you could talk about, you know, some of the other things you've done. Like, I see the plays going on all across the nation and the reception, you know, of the plays. And, like, what kind of prompted you to do the, you know, do the plays?
Oh, yes. Yes, I just did, shout out to the D.C. Black Theater Festival. I just did, about 2 weeks ago, I just did a play there, and it was just awesome. It was fantastic. And as a performer, especially doing this, it's a one-woman show where I'm playing five different characters. It's hard to build an audience. So, I had to put in an enormous amount of work, and I still do to this day, constantly have to work to build the audience. But when I went to the DC Black Theater Festival, I saw the work pay off because it was so interesting and so wonderful, because one of the supporters that has been financially supporting, because, you know, I have to produce these shows and there's a production budget with each show that I do, this person had been financially supporting for like probably about 2 years, and he drove all the way from North Carolina to come to see the show. And I was just beyond I could not believe it. After the show was over with, he was sitting back there, and he walks up to me, and he tells me who he is, and I, like, fell out. I was like, I just could not believe it. And then another brother, his name is Exico, and I know he doesn't mind me saying his name because I made sure I asked him first. And then my brother Keith Tightbone Howard in Virginia, who's been following my work for a while, he came, and I was so happy to see him, and it was just phenomenal. And my brother Keith, who just, he has a story to tell, dark-skinned brother, that just came from nothing to something. He just got his PhD not too long ago. My brother saw the show developing over the years. I remember when I first moved to LA and was doing plays and stuff like that, and I was doing the show there, he saw the first show, like, I think it was back in like 2006 or something, or 2007. And he came down to DC to support, and his stamp of approval on from where he saw it start from to where it is now, it was just like he loved it. And I was just, it's just amazing. Then I did a show out in Tucson, Arizona, with one of my white fans. Shout out to Kim, got to give her a shout out. She had actually read the book, been following my work, and one day she contacted me and said, you should bring the show to Tucson. And I was like, okay. I mean, I never like discount what anybody says. I just let people do what they're going to do and wait to see what's going on. And she was serious. So I brought the show out there and met her. She's a wonderful person, met some wonderful people out there. And so it's just building and building. And I also want to say shout out to the Atlanta Black Theater Festival, because I was a dark-skinned woman's revenge was actually on the first Atlanta Black Theater Festival. And I really appreciate them for believing the work. They believe in the work, because it's very hard. It's not an easy thing to do, to promote and get this work out here. But the thing is, I made a promise to myself that I was going to use my art form, in terms of the performing arts, to impact the world and make a difference and change and look at the world and say, this is what I feel is wrong. And I'm going to use my art form, my talent that God gave me, and I'm going to infuse it in there. And that's what I'm going to do. And whatever I got to go through, I don't care. I'm going to go through it, and we're going to make this happen. And that's what's literally been going on since I wrote A Dark-Skinned Woman's Revenge back in 2006. And A Dark-Skinned Woman's Revenge is actually the sequel to a play I wrote called A Dark-Skinned Girl's Triumph, the Rashida Strober story. And that I actually released that for free. It's an audio book. I turned it into an audio book. First, I did it as a live show when I was living in Los Angeles. And then in 2008, I recorded it as an audio book. I call it an audio movie. And I put it, it's on YouTube. It's also on my website, RashidaStrober.com. So A Dark-Skinned Girl's Triumph came before that. And there was a scene in there that I did telling my story, you know, about what I had been going through in terms of being dark-skinned. And the audience, it resonated with the audience. And I never forget, I had a brother out there when I was living in L.A. that I met. His name is Stephen Meeks. Shout out to Stephen Meeks. because he's the one that kind of encouraged me to continue to just write my story. And so I took elements from the story about my dark skin issues and decided to write A Dark Skin Woman's Revenge, which I had actually called the Joma Legend Revenge of a Dark Skin Girl. That is the original name that I gave it in 2006 when I registered it with the Writers Guild of America. So from that point on, just kept developing it and developing it. And, you know, it takes time from the artistic point of view to develop a story to make it ready for audiences to enjoy and absorb. And you want to put your best foot forward. So I'm constantly engaged in trying to perfect it. But the response that I have received from people when I went to Dallas, took the show to Dallas, and I was just like floored. It was amazing how people have really loved the show. And I'll be shocked. I'm telling y'all the truth. I'll be shocked when people say what they say. But it's an honor because it's all for the people. As an artist, you want to please the people. You want to please yourself and tell your story, but you also want to please the people. So A Dark Skin Woman's Revenge has been a labor of love and a work in development for years. I just released a clip from one of the characters. It's on my YouTube. From the DC Black Theater Festival. And then someone said to me in 2010, when I performed the show at the Royal Theater in St. Petersburg, and a shout out to the brother that gave me a chance to do it there. I appreciate all the brothers along the way that have helped me and sisters. I have to say that because there's been a lot of black men that's in my corner. And I just really got to say that. That's very important to me. So anyway, I remember someone there said, "Do you have this as a book?" And I decided later on, I said, okay, I'm going to make a book version of A Dark Skinned Woman's Revenge so that people that I can't get to, I might not be in their city, they can read the book. So I turned the play into a book version. So now you can get A Dark Skinned Woman's Revenge, the book version, and you can see the play version. And the reviews I've gotten from people that have read it, they love it. So I'm real grateful for that. And then, so just, you know, I'm continuously working to bring the show to as many places as I possibly can in the United States and beyond. So, for example, in New York, I have a date tentatively scheduled for November 4th. And I don't really like to talk about stuff until I get a contract, but it's tentative right now. And when I know the specifics, then I'll start releasing information on where the show will be in New York. But I'm definitely going to bring it to New York because I have had a lot of people ask me to bring the show to New York. But over the past couple of years, they're saying, "When are you going to come to New York?" And I'm working my butt off to make that happen. So, I mean, it's really an amazing, wonderful roller coaster ride. It has its ups and its downs, but I absolutely love it. This is what I'm supposed to do. I don't want to do nothing else. I'm meant to do this. I'm going to keep doing it. Like I said, I also have the books. How to Be the Hottest Dark-Skinned Chick on the Planet is the first motivational book for dark-skinned females. I wrote that book a couple of years ago, and it's absolutely free at my website, RashidaStrober.com. And people from all over the world have requested the book and read it, you know, from, you know, the UK to Africa, all over the world. People have read that book, and that book will always be free at my website. And it's the book that I wish that somebody would have wrote for me when I was, you know, coming up, you know, dark skin, going through the things that I was going through. So what I did was I shared my experiences, my real life experiences on how I dealt with certain situations in the book. Like, so for example, I'm an advocate of a plant-based diet and some people might call it veganism, whatever you want to call it. I advocate that because I feel that that's one of the things that has really helped me as a dark skinned woman. I know it can help everybody, but I'm just saying for my particular situation. So I shared different tips in the book to help people. So, I mean, it's just so much work to be done. And, you know, I'm so excited to continue to keep working because it's really sharing my story and talking about what I went through. It's really been therapeutic to me, and it's really kept me going. And in the process, I've been able to help other people. And at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about.
So how does somebody get
play in their city? You know, What are some of the steps?
Okay, sure. First of all, you just contact me, RashidaStrober.com. You can go to my website, or you can email me at DarkSkinIsBeautifulCampaign@gmail.com, DarkSkinIsBeautifulCampaign@gmail.com, or you can even inbox me on Facebook. So from there, there would have to be a venue that would have to be selected, and there's multiple ways that could be done. And then, you know, from there, we make it happen. So the first step is really to just contact me and, you know, lay out what you have on the table or what your strategy is or how you want to, you know, bring the show there. And then we'll go from there. But what I will say, I mean, it's pretty easy and straightforward. It's not anything that's complicated. It's pick a date and contracts and then move forward and then do what you got to do. So it's really very easy to do. So yeah, just contact me if you're interested, and I will be more than happy to bring the show to wherever you are. I travel anywhere in the world.
Yeah, I hear that, family. You know, dark skin is beautiful. You hear that? Dark skin is beautiful. I'm going to say it one more time.
Most definitely.
Dark skin is beautiful, okay? I ain't just saying that for the email. I'm saying it for the mantra. You see what I'm saying? So our sisters and brothers out there, it's a positive thing. You see what I'm saying? And don't let nothing or nobody deter you away from that. We got a few minutes left, and I want to honor the time that you had. So if you want to, whatever is on your heart that you want to say to the people, you know, whatever message you want to give out to them young sisters, or the elder sisters, or whomever, you see what I'm saying? You got the floor to you know, tell them, give them a message, give them some final thoughts.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, like I said, I want to thank you, and I want to thank everyone that has taken the time to listen to what it is that I have to say. Because if the people are not willing to open up their hearts and their minds to hear what you have to say, then, you know, that's the whole point. So I want to thank everybody. And I want to just tell Black people that the issue of darkism is something that we really have got to deal with in a serious way and look at it in different facets. Because dark skin has quietly, and we all know this as Black people, has quietly impacted our lives in some form or fashion, whether you have spoke about it or not spoken about it. It's had an impact. And so what I want us to do is look at that impact, look at the way that we treat our dark skinned daughters, our dark skinned sons, our dark skinned nieces and nephews and cousins. Look at the way that we treat, if you are an educator, because I've seen a lot of darkism in schools. So that's a big problem. Look at the way that the kids interact with each other. And if you see it, if you see somebody saying, oh, you Black and ugly, and I've seen this a lot, don't just sit there and just don't say anything. Step in and educate them about this. This is very important. You know, there's so many ways that we can eradicate darkism just by starting with little small acts. So going back to the family, because I really believe that that's one of the areas that it can really be dealt with in. If you have dark-skinned children, let me say this first of all. If you have, I don't care what color children you have, all of them should be treated equally. But what I have seen in families, I've seen dark-skinned children. I myself was one of them. That's how I know. Not treated the same as the non-dark-skinned children. I don't feel that you should have to, the dark-skinned child should have to work as hard to be handsome or pretty or get attention. I don't feel that, I think that's wrong. So in Black families, we got to learn how to treat dark-skinned children the same or equal. And I don't advocate even treating them better than a brown-skinned or a light-skinned child. That is not what I'm saying, because I'm not a dark-skinned supremacist. What I'm saying is just take a look at yourself and how you are treating that dark-skinned child. Are you calling them black and ugly or black-ass and nappy-headed? Are you doing those things? And if you are, then you need to stop. Are you giving more compliments and praise and gifts and money and whatever, or buying better clothes? Because these things have happened to a non-dark-skinned child versus a dark-skinned child. Look at what you're doing and how you're treating these kids. Look at that. And if you're doing it, or if you see it happening, then you need to stop it. It's just that simple. So that that child does not have to grow up feeling less than. You know, because a lot of this stuff starts in our childhood. I'm telling you, I'm a living example of this. This darkism started in my childhood. You understand? So we could do a lot in terms of how we treat our children. And we know that black people do produce children and humanity in all shades. All I'm saying is treat everybody equally. That's probably, really, to be honest with you, I want to actually end on that note, because to me, that's probably one of the most important things that we could do, is start with the children, so that the dark-skinned child can feel valued and confident and have some self-worth as they grow up, you know. And I don't know what's going to happen as they get older. It could start to change, because maybe some people have not been taught to treat people all, you know, with respect and equality. But at least that dark-skinned child will have a foundation to lean back on, which kind of saved me with my father, who treated me very well. He was a wonderful dark-skinned man and treated me good. He saved me. If it wasn't for him, I'd probably be extremely self-hating. But he came back and saved me. So you might be able to do that. You might be able to save that dark-skinned child from feeling less than as they grow up, because they could say, I got at least one person that believes that I'm great. I'm somebody. I'm beautiful. I'm handsome. That's very important. That is very important. I want to end on that, because that's probably one of the most important things to me, is the way that the dark-skinned child is treated.
So I definitely thank you for your time. One more time before you go, can you shout out all of your social media links and how people can contact you, get a hold of you for either your books or for the play, anything.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Yes. If you want to book the play, you can go to my website, rashidastrober.com, or you can hit me on Facebook, or you can email me at darkskin@gmail.com. If you want to purchase a book, I have How to Be the Hottest Dark-Skinned Chick on the Planet, A Dark-Skinned Woman's Revenge, and A Dark-Skinned Girl's Triumph, and also Darkism. You can go to rashidastrober.com. The books are there. And just so everyone knows, all the proceeds from the books goes to the production of A Dark-Skinned Woman's Revenge that I'm currently touring. So the tour, the productions cost money. I'm also running a GoFundMe. So if you are interested in supporting these productions as an investor, you can contact me, or you can give to the GoFundMe. As I stated earlier, I have a show that I'm planning in New York for November of this year. So definitely always in need of funding to keep the shows going. That's very important. So, yeah, so rashidastrober.com is my website. It's also called thedarkskinactivist.com. And you can just go there, and you can get in contact with me on Facebook. Like, I'm really easily accessible on social media. And if I take a little minute to get back to you, just bear with me, because I do get a lot of messages from people. And sometimes I don't see all the messages on Facebook. So really, it's probably best to email me at darkskinisbeautifulcampaign@gmail.com. And once again, if you go to my website, rashidastrober.com, you scroll all the way down, you'll see all of my contact information, as well as how you can contribute to funding A Dark-Skinned Woman's Revenge. So, yeah, thank you.
Powerful, very impactful, and I know our listening audience got a jewel. So, you know, anytime you're coming back, anytime you got anything coming on, you got a play that's coming out, you releasing anything new, anything
you know, just hit me up, and you know what I mean, you got dark skin privilege. So, you know, if I got to bump somebody off the schedule, I bump them off the schedule. You see what I'm saying? To make sure you got a place where you can come and promote. You see what I'm saying? So, definitely,
thank you. Thank
you. An honor to, you know, have had you on to have this conversation. So, hopefully this one in many. So.
Yes, definitely. And if you want me back on again, you know how to reach me. I really enjoyed it. I love it. That's all I can say. I love it. So whenever you need me, just, you know, inbox me on Facebook or contact me, and we'll set it up again. I really appreciate it.
It's all us. You have a good day. Tell Lauren and we say hey. You know what I'm saying? We love her and we love you.
I sure will. Thank you. I love y'all too. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, sis.
All right.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
The illustrious queen of dark skin activism, Rashida Strober. If you like what you heard, you can subscribe to the show here at www.blogtalkradio.com/DoomKnowledgeRadio. That's DoomKnowledgeRadio. Check us out at our hub site, our e-commerce site, www.DoomKnowledgeUniversity.com. You can follow the show, subscribe to the show here, or you can follow the show on Twitter. That's @KnowledgeBorn15. Again, @KnowledgeBorn15. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Doom Knowledge Radio. Check us out on YouTube. Definitely an honor. Fantastic show, phenomenal show. Make sure y'all go and support our queen, the sister. She gave out all of her social media links. And if you are a media outlet or a platform and y'all heard our sister on today, make sure y'all get a hold of her, you know, help further this cause and raise this awareness so we can tackle this issue, dark skinism and colorism that plagues the minds of our people. Our goal is unity. Our goal is liberation. And it begins with, you know, having a conversation, because thought precedes action. So with that, we'll say peace, love, black power. And we'll see you tomorrow. Safo Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. One thing that only